All right, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be here, Lord. Thank you for this time we have together. Lord, please help me as I preach your word. God, I need your help. I pray that you would, Lord, as we look at this thought of being a witness for you and how that's what you left your church here to do. God, help us to do that. Empower us to do it, Lord. Embolden us to do it. We need you, Father. Please, I pray that you would use us. Help us to further your kingdom, Lord, to see churches started. God, use us to do that, please. I pray that we would take the words we just read seriously as they did when they heard it from your mouth. It's the same for us today, Lord, that we are to be a witness for you. Help us to do that, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the fifth time you see what we call the Great Commission mentioned in the Bible. God has a purpose for us. God expects us as His church to always be witnesses. All of us to always be a witness. Wherever we go, it's not just something that we do on Saturday. It can't just be something that we do on Saturday. It has to be really a part of our life. And I know there's times we go up and down with that, but we should constantly strive to be a better witness. A witness means that we are there telling what we've seen. Let me say, it doesn't mean that we're inviting people to church. I know that's a good way, and I encourage us, if you've never gone soul winning, hey, just start with that. Start with giving someone an invitation to church. That's great, but that's not what we're to be. We're not to be inviters to church. Amen. We're to be witnesses of what the Lord has done in our life. So if you're saved, you qualify. Amen. Because He saved you. He changed you. So you are to be a witness of that. That word that comes from is martyr. That's what the martyrs were. We talk about someone's a martyr for Christ. It means a witness. They gave testimony of what the Lord did for them, and many times that meant that they lost their life. Being a witness. Telling what the Lord had done in their life. Telling how God saved them, how God changed them. That's what we're to do. Look, when you get into it, you say sometimes, "I don't know what to say at the door." Just start giving them your testimony. Be a witness. Tell them what God did for you. You know, don't you? You should know. Then just start telling them that I was a wicked sinner on my way to hell, and praise God for Jesus Christ. He saved me. I realized He was my only hope. I realized He was my Savior. And I turned from, and tell them I turned from the Catholic Church and all the false teaching they taught me, and I turned to the Savior, the one, the only one that could save me. And He changed my life. I mean, if you're at a Catholic's door, tell them that. Say, "I was in the Catholic Church my whole life up until this point, and it didn't do anything for me." And just be honest with them. Tell them because they got another Jesus. It is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Catholic Church isn't good enough to save you. I got to do part of it myself. Mary's got to do the other part. And after that, I still got to spend time in purgatory. Man, but the Savior of the Bible, the Savior that saved me and changed me, He did it all. Amen. I just came to Him. You can be a witness. See, that's what we need to be. We need to be witnesses. And that's exactly what the Bible says right here. This is what Jesus told them. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So we as the Lord's church should always be active witnesses for Him. Active martyrs, if you will. Every one of us, no one's excluded in here. And again, I want to get this idea across that we're not just to invite people to church. That's not it. That's just kind of a hook to see, are you interested? Can I talk to you more? That's really all that is. But don't have the mindset that I'm going out here to just hand these out. No. You're going out there to be a witness.
Amen.
To tell them what Jesus did for you. Get good at giving your testimony. You should look, if you're in the personal evangelism class that's coming up, you're going to have to write out your testimony. You're going to have to come in front of the whole class and you're going to have to give your testimony.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. You say, oh, I'm scared to do that. Well, if you won't do it in front of us. Are you going to do it in front of a stranger? See, we need to get where we give our testimony and we're comfortable with it. And you know what? I could give the long version. I can give the short version of mine. And I can give in between. That's where you need to get based on the situation. How much does this person need to know? And there's a proper way to give your testimony. We don't need to glorify sin and the wickedness that we were in before. We don't need to do that. The focus needs to be not on us, but on Christ. On everything that Christ did for us. That's where all the focus needs to be. That's where the attention needs to be. But sometimes you need to say, hey, I was lost and I believe this and I believe this and I believe this because you see that this is where they're at. So you're showing them, I believed all this false stuff, whatever it may be, and you know that's what they're believing, just based on maybe some things you've said or some things you've seen as you've walked up to their door. As you maybe have known them at work and you've been just in different conversations with them. And you're able to use that to show them you have to turn from that. You've got to turn to the Savior. See, we need to be witnesses. God said that we'd be given power to be a witness for Him. You shall receive power. This power comes through the Holy Ghost. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's where the power comes from. It comes through prayer. I mean, they stayed there and prayed. They prayed for the next 10 days they were praying. And then the day of Pentecost came. It comes through yielding. Galatians 5:16. I like this. We looked at it last night. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I mean, we need to yield to the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit. That's not always easy to do. That means you have to tell your flesh no. You got to say no to your flesh. When your flesh wants something, you got to say no. My flesh isn't going to get that something. I'm going to deny what my flesh wants in order to follow what the Spirit wants. And I'm telling you, that's that battle that every one of us is going to have. If you're saved, you will have that battle. If you don't ever have that battle, guess what? You're not. Saved. Amen. Because God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And I've told you all a lot of times, I didn't ever have one preacher tell me that I needed to quit drinking. But I knew I needed to. Why? Because God's Spirit bore witness with my spirit. Amen. That was wrong. No one had to tell me. I didn't even read it in the Bible. I just knew it was wrong. Right. Never even read it in the Bible. We have to follow what the Spirit leads us. You know, it'd be a good habit for us, and I know we fail at it, but that doesn't mean it's an excuse, but it'd be a good habit for each of us to get into the practice of yielding to every prompting of the Spirit of God. Have you ever had the Spirit of God prompt you to do something, maybe just to go talk to someone, to even just say a word to them, maybe not even try and, you know, get into the gospel with them, maybe just to go up to them and just even ask, hey, can I pray for you? Just anything like that. You ever had the Spirit of God lead you to do something like that and you say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. See, those are the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I think it was Elijah that said, or it was said to Elijah that God speaks in a still small voice. He was looking for it in the fire, in the earthquake, in all these things, in the tornado. But it says that God's voice came in a still small voice. God says He was. I'm not in any of that. See, we want to see God in the bang, the flash. And God says, I'm not in that. I'm that still small voice. I'm that little voice that's talking to you that you're pushing down with all the fleshly stuff that you're bringing into your life, with all the worldly stuff, the worldly movies, the worldly music, the worldly thought. I'm telling you, all that stuff drowns out the Holy Spirit of God. It drowns it out. And if we don't have the Word of God, Brother Josh and I were just talking about this, it's so easy to get away from God. It's so easy to get in the flesh when we don't have the Word of God going through us and cleansing us. Yeah, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. See, we have to have the Word of God coming through and cleansing us. Every one of us needs it. More than we do it. I'm just telling you right now. More than we do it. I'd be curious to know how many of us read our Bible every day. How many of us read the Bible every day? I'm just talking anything. I mean, five verses even. How many of us read it every day? I'd be curious to know. I'm not going to ask you. Don't worry, I'm not pointing you out. If you're not, you got convicted right there. You should have. You should have. So I hope he doesn't ask. The most effective way we can be a witness is by taking opportunities daily to be a witness. Looking for those daily opportunities. I mean, praying for them. Can we start praying for God to give us opportunities to share the gospel with somebody? I mean, I got away from that and I'm getting back into it. And lo and behold, the Lord gave me an opportunity today to talk to one of my coworkers. Now, I wasn't able to get into everything about it, but I was able to start sharing for him some things the Lord had given my testimony, being a witness. I was able to start doing that and just planting some thoughts there. He's a Catholic. And I grew up that. I got taught all that and realized that the Bible doesn't teach right. I was reading the Bible. I shared with him how it talked about using vain repetition as the heathen do. And I realized that that was wrong. And he brought up the molestation of all the priests and everything, them molesting everyone. He said, that kind of turned me off of it. I said, well, yeah, I mean, they're a false teaching. That's another Jesus, I started telling him. So the real Jesus, you know, you got to repent. And I started sharing these things with him. It wasn't like the typical way we go through it. What am I doing? I'm still getting the gospel to him. See, I prayed for opportunities and God gave me opportunity. But we have to be willing to take it. I mean, I'm sitting there. He came and sat down. I'm taking my break. I got my Bible open. I was studying some things for tonight. And I'm looking at some things in the break room. And he comes in and he sits down. And I'm just like, man, Lord, what do I say? You ever been there? You're just like, I need to say, what do I say? God, help me say something. How can I bring this thing around to spiritual? You know, Lord, just help me. And this guy's always blaspheming God's name. I mean, always. And one of these days, I'm just going to nail him with it. I've thought about it. I haven't had peace about it, really, to just hit him with it yet. But, I mean, always. My Bible's open right there. I almost was today. I opened up to Exodus 20. I was going to show him, you know, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But the Lord didn't lead that way. It went a different direction. But I'm saying God gave me an opportunity. And how many opportunities like that have I missed? Man, more than I can count. I hate even thinking about it. I don't know how many times God's told me, pull over and talk to him. And I'm just like, nope. Just keep going. More times than I can count. I am. We need to pray for opportunities. And then, hey, when you're praying for opportunities, then look for where the opportunity is going to be at. Right. Then you got to look for it. I mean, it's not like you get into the witness protection program after that and you're in hiding. Okay, Lord, help me win someone to the Lord. And then you like hide in the closet all day. It doesn't work like that. You can't do that. You got to actually, God, help me be a witness to somebody and then look for an opportunity. I mean, look for an opportunity. You know, it might be the little girl that comes up to you or the mom and the little girl that come up to you at the walking into Walmart selling candy, selling Girl Scout cookies. You know, that might be the opportunity God's opening for you. You know, just start a conversation. We need to get good at just starting conversations with people. Look, many times I'll just start talking with people just to see if I can swing it around that way. It doesn't always happen. Yeah, we got to get good at that. I mean, I'll just start talking with someone just to see, hey, maybe this will turn into something. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, but I'm just talking just to see, hey, let me see if I can bring this around over here, something spiritual. I mean, maybe just something they say will just trigger, I could say this. And just get a feel for them. And maybe just plant a seed. You know, that's what happened in the book of Acts. I'm so excited about going through the book of Acts. Just so many of the things that are in it. When the persecution hit and it said they went everywhere, what'd they do? Preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. The persecution came and they just spread out. And wherever they went, they were preaching the word of God. Why? That should be us today. Amen. That's what we need to do today. I mean, just everywhere we go, they're just someone's hearing about the Word of God. Everything we do, we're a witness. He said He'd give us power to do it, didn't He? So what are you afraid of? Let me ask, is God all-powerful and almighty? So what are we afraid of if we've got His power? I got to ask myself that sometimes too. I'm not just picking on you. But what am I afraid of? You know, why am I afraid to go up to this 15-year-old kid? You know, why am I afraid to go up to this 60-year-old man, this 55-year-old lady? Why am I afraid? You know, what am I afraid of? God said He'll give us the power. To do what? What's He going to empower us to do? Somebody help me. What's it say He's going to empower us to do? To be witnesses. Amen. He's going to empower us to be a witness. Well, that's not for us. That must be for people with the gift of evangelism, right? It's not a gift. It's not in there. It's a command. I mean, man, if we can use that's the gift of evangelism. You kids, I'm telling you here, let me help you out. Okay, say when your parents tell you to do something and you disobey, just be like, hey, I didn't get the gift of obey your parents. I didn't get that gift. It's not a gift. I'm just kidding. That won't work. It's a command. This is a command. It's not an option for us. If you're saved, it's not an option. You are a witness. How are you witnessing for Him? Look, this goes into even the manner in which we live. Are we living a holy lifestyle? Man, there's a lot of Christians will talk about that, you know, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. That's right, isn't it? But you don't know why. Do you know why most Christians are devoured? Yeah, we could say that, the love of the world. But what does it come down to? If someone is saved, why are they devoured? It's because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because we have no discernment. Because we don't know the Bible. That's why. Because Christians don't watch their testimony. They don't guard their witness. I mean, how strong is your testimony going to be? Is your witness going to be for the Lord when you are acting and living like the devil and then you try and tell people you need Jesus? He'll change your life. What do you mean He's going to change my life? How? I'm the same as you. We're the same thing. See, Matthew 1:21 says that Jesus came to save us from our sins. Not to save us and let us wallow in our sins and yay, I get a get out of jail free card. Fire insurance. No. See, part of being a witness is us actually living a holy life. Go to Jude, if you would, please. First one to get to Jude 2:1, I got $20 for you.
2:1?
Yeah. All right, right. So I got $20 for you. If you get there, I got $20 for you. All right, well, we know we got one liar in here. All right, Jude chapter 1, verse 23, verse 22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Get this part right here. It's talking about, you know, being a witness, okay? Sharing the gospel, okay? Some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, doing what? Hating the garment that's spotted by the flesh. What is that? That we hate the sinfulness of this world? We hate the things of this world? But we need to get in there and pull them out. But our witness says, I hate that. I don't want anything to do with that. I mean, how many of you have a food you hate? Just who's got a food they hate? What is it, Brianna? Fish? Brother Josh? Mayonnaise. Isaiah? Seafood? Who else? Anybody got a food they hate? Split pea soup. Anybody else? What do you got? Broccoli? Green beans. Green beans. I hate onions. I hate onions. I mean, just think of some food you hate. I mean, you hate it. You just hate it. Now, if you hate it, are you going to be, I'm like, man, let me have this for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. At least 3 times a week, I need this food that I hate. You going to have anything to do with it? I'm like, no, I can spot an onion a mile away in food. I'm telling you, I've asked people, I said, are there onions in this? And now I've gotten better at it. I can eat some of them. Like in salsa, if it's mixed up. I've seen onions in some of the stuff that's been made over here. I've caught it. I said, there's onions in this, I told my wife. That's okay. I've known. You guys think, oh, he didn't know when I put it. Yeah, I've known. I used to not. I couldn't. I've gotten better. I can somewhat handle them, like in salsa and stuff. If they're cooked and they'll almost like fall apart. But if it's any bit of chewy, I'm like, I'll start gagging. It's just nasty. I can't stand onions. I remember the first time I was like 5 years old, 6 years old, got a McDonald's cheeseburger Happy Meal, and they got it with onions and stuff. And I remember just eating it, and I was standing there in my aunt's like den or whatever, and I went to tell my mom I wasn't feeling good, and I just, just all over. And ever since, I've hated onions since then. I can't stand onions. I don't want onions. I do not want onions because I hate them. So as Christians, why would we want to have anything to do with garments spotted by the flesh, with the filth of this world? I mean, just this week I've read some articles by some pastors defending worldliness. Now, they don't say call it worldliness because no pastor in his right mind is going to say, hey, go be worldly. But that's exactly what they're defending because they're so general. Even in their compromise, they're general. I mean, they won't be specific standing against something, but even in their compromise, they're general because they don't want to be too specific about it. But they're defending it. And they're saying, oh, subjective separation versus biblical separation. Well, we just name anything subjective that we like to partake of, then hey, it's good to go. You're splitting hairs. I mean, the Bible still says that the things of this world are sinful. Worldliness is still sinful. And I know what the author of that particular article, I know what he was doing. He's defending using CCM, Christian Rock, and really the whole emergent church philosophy. And all the emergent churches, it's just the next wave of compromise within Christianity. It's new evangelicalism. It's just the new face of new evangelicalism. And some of you are like, what is he talking about? Just compromise within Billy Graham. Okay, that's what it is. It's the new face that Billy Graham helped to lead. And don't be, judge not, the whole judge not heresy. Okay, you can't judge anything, Christian. It's all of that. And you've got pastors are saying, hey, don't say anything about that. It's okay. Subjective, separation. What is that? And they make it look like it's a bad thing to stand on the Bible. They'll call you're a legalist. Why? This is the Bible says it. And the Bible says it. Arguing for tattoos, trying to defend tattoos. What in the world? The wickedness and the filth where that comes from, and we're trying to defend it? Man, I keep mine covered up. I'm not proud I have them. None of you would have ever even known I have them except I told us when I preached through that series. That's the only way you know I even have tattoos. You've never even seen them. Unless you happen to see me scratching my arm or something. And even then, you don't see all of it. Man, it's almost like the Spirit of God bore witness with my spirit that was wicked. How come it's always the heathen and the pagan doing it? But I'm telling you, this is the type of garbage that they're trying to defend. Hey, Jude said, hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. What's the garment talking about? It's talking about the Christian's righteousness. Yeah, and I know we don't save ourselves. It's not in and of our own righteousness. But man, there's something to our testimony. There's something to our witness. Go to Titus chapter 1, please. I'm sorry, Titus 2. Titus 2:11. These preachers like this are the same ones that'll say, oh, we need a grace awakening, I think is what Chuck Swindoll called it. Let's hear your voice there, Brother Brad.
A grace awakening.
Yes, you can. We need a grace awakening, though. Look, I'm not against biblical grace. Amen. But I'm against a redefined, unbiblical grace. But they mean by biblical grace, these compromisers I'm talking about, it's not biblical grace. They mean an acceptance of people's sin. That's what they mean.
Amen.
Look, I'm telling you, it's wrong for a man. It's sin for a man to have long hair. Amen. Jesus did not have long hair. Jesus did not look like a hippie. I'm just telling you, he did not. It's wrong for a woman to have short hair. Amen. I have never heard that preached. Never. I've never heard it mentioned like I just said right now. Never. I haven't personally. Not sitting under someone's preaching. Maybe because I've listened to preaching online, I've heard it like that. But I've never heard anyone preach against it or say it. It is wrong for a woman to have short hair. Why? Because just look, if you go into these Baptist churches around here, you're going to find women with short hair. I mean, like a man's haircut. That's wrong. It's sin. It's not right. But we won't say stuff like that. We just have grace. Okay, let's have some biblical grace then. Let's let the Bible define it. Can we do that? Can we let the Bible define grace for us? Let's look at it. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God. So what are we talking about here? What's the subject here? The grace of God, right? That's a tough one. For the grace of God, that what does the grace of God do? That bringeth salvation hath done what? Appeared to all men. So the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to the elect, right? Okay, no, I didn't say that. Sorry, Calvinist. It says it appeared to all men. Okay, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What does the grace of God do then? Verse 12 tells us. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So it says grace is going to teach us to deny ungodliness, not to partake of it. Right. When I was lost, I knew what was ungodly. I didn't need people to tell me. I grew and you learn more things in the Bible that are ungodly. But for the most part, the things that these people are defending, look, I knew tattoos were wrong. Right. When I was lost, I knew that they were wrong. It was a sign of rebellion. I knew that. Yep. Yeah, amen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Well, worldly, what's the world? 1 John defines the world for us. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. That's the world right there. So if your eyes lust after it, if your flesh lusts after it, if it's filled with pride, it's of the world. So, I mean, that sums it all up right there. If that doesn't fit rock and roll and rock music and rap music and country music, if that doesn't fit it, I don't know what does. So that's worldly. So how are we going to justify using CCM, Christian rock, if we already have determined it's worldly? And there's so much more in that. I do need to teach on rock music and just get specific on it. I need to do that. I will. I've been telling us since, 4 years ago, I've been saying it. Eventually, I'm going to get there. There's just other things keep popping up. But I will do it eventually. I need to. I want you all to know why it's wrong. I mean, even the good oldies. Those are a bunch of wicked devils, too. Bunch of drug addicts and witches. I'm not even kidding you. Practicing witchcraft, Elvis Presley. Following Madame Blavatsky, the witch, all that stuff. Oh, Elvis is saved. What? Does he blaspheme God? Well, he sang Amazing Grace. He's got to be saved. Carrie Underwood, she sings Amazing Grace so beautifully. And she dresses like a whore. That might be too biblical for us. The Bible uses that terminology, though. I'm just telling you. That the lust of the flesh. So these preachers that are okay with that, you're going to have her come up dressed like that before your congregation and sing? Well, no, she couldn't come up dressed like that. Well, but she does that for all her other concerts. See, so we want to defend this stuff and then think that people are going to draw a line and say, well, I won't go that far. I'll just listen to all the CCM. You think they're not listening to the real stuff? Everybody I know that listens to Christian rock listens to the real stuff too. And love it and defend it. Every one of them. There's not one I don't know. Not one. Not one. See, when you cross the line, you won't stop. How many of you have figured that out? Anybody figured that out? When you sin, when you cross the line, when God says don't go, and you're like, well, it's just a little bit. How many of you found out that you end up way over here when the line's right there? And you're like, man, I just wanted to be right there. How'd I end up over here? Because you're not going to stop yourself. Your flesh, see, you're like, I'll just give it a little taste. And then that'll appease it. I'm going to give my flesh just a little taste of this, and that'll appease it, and I'll be good to go. And all your flesh says is, give me more. Give me more. I want more. So it just keeps going. See, but the Bible says that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, I've done it before. I could take a picture from a Christian rock concert and a secular rock concert, and you can't tell the difference. That's right, it's the exact same. I thought we weren't to be like the world. I thought we're to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. So we want to say, hey, oh, that's subjective. You need to be more gracious. I'm going to be as gracious as the Bible tells me to be.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, and look for the blessed hope. That's what we ought to do. See, so to be a witness means more than just I'm saying it. It means I'm actually living it and backing it up. So when I do say it, people are like, well, that guy's real. I don't agree with him. That girl's real. I don't agree with her, but they're real. They believe what they're saying. Shame on us that a Jehovah's Witness will have a better testimony than we will. I've known them that do. Many professing Christians. What a shame on us. They're following the devil and they got a better testimony than we do. I'm not saying anyone in here. I'm just talking about those professing Christianity. Now, as we look at this, this also means that Christ has given us the authority to go into all the world. Going back to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God says, I'm going to give you power. If you couple that with Matthew 28, 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's talking about authority. He says, you go into all the world. He says, I've given you the authority. You can go. In Acts 5, 30, they said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged. That's not what I wanted. Man, I hate when it happens. Let me try to find the verse I wanted. It's talking about, I'll just quote it to you if I can't find it. I don't remember the reference. Anyway, it says, we ought to obey God rather than men. When they told them they couldn't preach the gospel, they told them, hey, we ought to obey God rather than men. It's the verse before it, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Why? Because God has given us all authority. We don't need anybody's permission to go preach the gospel. We've already got it. God gave it to His church. So if we're working through His church, we've already got the authority to go do it. We don't need anyone's permission to do it. God said so. God told us right here in Acts 1:8 to go into all the world. God wants to empower us so we can do what He would do if He were here. You know, realize, think about this. He spent 3.5 years with the apostles teaching them how to do it and the rest of the disciples. They wrote it down for us in the Bible so we'd know how to do it. And we're to continue in it. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. That's part of the same things we're to do. We're to go into all the world. We're to preach the gospel. That's what God expects of us. We as a church are His embassy representing His kingdom. And as Christians, we represent Him personally as ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. So that word reconcile means to bring two opposing parties together. And you look at Romans 5:10, Romans 8:7, it says that we are enemies of God. Okay, that means we're against God, we're opposing, and Christ came to reconcile us, to bring us back together, to no longer have us be enemies. That's what He came to do. And it says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So the Bible says God, Jesus Christ, came here to reconcile the world to Himself. And now he's given us, right here, his church, the ministry of reconciliation. That means we're to be bringing those that are opposed to God, those that are the enemies of God, we're to bring them and connect them with the Lord. How do we do that? Who knows how we do that? What do we do? Amen. Be a witness. And what do we witness of? The gospel, Jesus Christ. Amen. We tell them the gospel. That's what's going to make the difference. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him, okay? As though God did beseech you by us." Just like when we stand there and talk to someone about the Lord, it's like God is standing there in our place asking them. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead." So instead of Christ, we're standing there, "Be ye reconciled to Him. Be ye reconciled to God." That's what we're to do. We're to be a witness. Are you being a witness? Are you being an inviter? Amen. Invite them. But are you being a witness? See, that's what we're to do. That's what the command is. Be a witness. Be a martyr. Are you a martyr? Amen. We all ought to be martyrs. Witnesses for Christ and unto death, even if it requires. I'm not saying I want that or I'm signing up for it, but I mean, if that's what has to happen, then Lord willing, we would be there being a witness for Him. But look, if that's to come, if you won't do it now, you won't do it then. So are we the witness we ought to be? Are you giving your testimony? We need to. Let's pray.